The information presented in this podcast is not intended for the treatment or prevention of disease or any medical condition, nor is a substitute for medical advice. The information contained herein in this podcast reflects only the opinion of the author and presenter and is in no way considered required practice.
Welcome to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connects your brain to your brawn.
Hi, this is Eric Fiorello, and I want to welcome you to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast show that connects your brain to your brawn. Believe it or not, can you believe it? It's 7/29/2016. That's July 29th, if you can believe it. Without getting into too much with it, I can't believe it. This has been the fastest year of my entire life. I've never seen anything go so quick, and I think a lot of it is, too, I'm going to bring him in a minute. I want to just let everybody know Steve Cotter is on with us today, which I couldn't be happier about. I think it's the idea, and I'm sure Steve can attest to this. When you get involved in stuff like this, businesses, obviously working out, it's all part of the business. It just engulfs you, and it engulfs you in a good way. And it's just like, I don't know. I guess it's just that. It's just everything is just gone so quickly. And it's a good thing because we are starting to see some big changes here, and everybody knows that's been listening that, you know, we're streaming now out on the internet 24/7, and I'll give you a little bit more about that, but I want to get into the show here, and, I want to tell everybody go out to motivationandmuscle.com/category/podcast and go out and look up Steve Cotter. We've done multiple shows together. There is so much information he and I have put out there. The last show we did recently, the last month, was Character. It was an outstanding show, and I mean outstanding. Go out and check that out. Also go to FiorelloBarbellCo.com. Check out our two biggest products, and the big one is obviously the download of the top 10 ways to build mind and muscle. It's 10 paragraphs, very simplistic. It's none of this complicated crap that everybody puts out. It'll make you think, commit, and take action. And I'm telling you right now, listen to my words when I say that. You don't have to spend thousands of dollars on these products. I'm telling you right now. I was talking to a good friend of mine, my friend Judy, who started me out in systems program with all the big IBM machines. And she couldn't believe what I've done, but she was not surprised me. She said, when you came in here, even green, I knew that you had talent and you had such ability. And she used to call me the digger. And that was because no matter what happened, I would always go out and dig for the information. Whether I knew it or not, I'd always go out and find it. And I've taken the principles she's taught me, and we've applied them to everything we do here. She is a great woman, and I'll tell you, way ahead of her time. And I thank her immensely for all the support in the past. And now she's very proud of me, and that means a lot to me from her, believe me. So go out and check that out. Also, too, Strength Times Power Equals Success in the Winner's Circle. Those are the two biggest products to date. You're going to see some changes with those. We have Mark DeGrasse doing all the marketing here now, and you're going to see some big changes to M&M. Believe me, you already will if you go out there. He's changed a lot of the stuff on the homepage. I don't know if it's going to stay like that. I think it is going to change again, but it looks monstrous, man. Also, too, the Winner's Circle, 12 modules where I talk through them. You can learn everything from power rack training, the stone lifting to, oh boy, high shrugs, York iron boots, sandbag training, thick bar training, anything. It's all there. I've got even more. We might even give away some free ones if you want to get on board with that. So go out to FiorelloBarbellCo.com. And like I was saying, this is the biggest thing that's ever happened to me, I believe, here, at least in my business. It's been a negotiation for about 8 months now, and we finally found a big provider. And Motivation and Muscle is streaming radio style 24/7 now every day. It's been 2 weeks. We're on Google Play Music. We're also on TuneIn. We're also on Shoutcast. And if you have the ability either to buy one, and all the new cars have this, podcast capability. We are on AHA. Go out and search Motivation Muscle, and you'll be able to hear us when you're driving in your car. So big things. I'm very proud of it, and I'm very happy with all the people that are associated with the show, especially guys like Steve, who've not only led me to different people, but are real genuine friends, man. I mean, Steve's in California. I'm in New York, and we are going to meet one day. Like, I'm going to meet with everybody, and we hope this could definitely happen, that we're going to go and speak together, a bunch of us, at some point. Could be even next year. And the big thing now is we're working on going live with the show. It could possibly happen this year. I don't know. We're going to find out in about 3 weeks. But as I told Steve, my foot is right to the floor now, and that's the way I love to live. So I'm going to give you a little information on Steve here. Steve is the founder and director of the IKFF. He's a champion athlete, kettlebell trainer, martial arts trainer. He's an expert in the human performance fields, and he's an excellent speaker, obviously, when you hear him on the show. We're going to talk about, and I've been wanting to do this with Steve, kettlebell and strongman. We're gonna meld these two together, especially a guy like me is very, very interested in any way we can get an edge. And no better guy to talk to about this is our good friend Steve Cotter. So, Steve, welcome to Motivation and Muscle, sir.
Hey, thank you, brother. Another awesome day here today on the show.
Hell yeah. Give me anything that's going on the website, and we'll get started on our subject today, please.
Absolutely. Actually, what I'm spending a lot of time right now is I'm putting out a bunch of free content on my YouTube channel. Just sharing information, sharing my discoveries. You know, it's life is a science, and my study group is one person, and that's myself. So
yep.
Basically what I'm doing on YouTube is I'm just putting my info out there for everybody that wants to learn. It's free videos. And, you know, I've had that channel for a while, but I wasn't really active. So now I'm really active on that. And just a bunch of great information on there, a bunch of stuff on flexibility and mace training, kettlebell training, body weight exercise. So, you know, that's kind of what I'm focused on right now. And that's just, you know, my YouTube channel, Steve Cotter, IKFF.
Cool. This is interesting because we had talked offline for a little while before we came on. I love kettlebells, but I'm no expert, you know, and I go out and watch things and look at things, but I'm kind of using them in a different manner. You know what I like doing, and a lot of the guys and gals here do the same thing. Some of us want to go to foreign lands and lift these immovable objects, and I really want to start bringing more kettlebell into my training too. So, Steve, let's talk about matching up. Strictly, I told Steve before we came on we could do it with stones, farmer's walk, and tire flips because I feel those three are just absolutely brutal for conditioning and strength. And Steve's going to bring in the strength endurance with it. Okay, let's talk. Well, we can go at any level of lifter, but let's say intermediate, in between, or maybe competition. How would you recommend starting out? Let's go with the idea we've done not a ton of kettlebell, some. Let's get into what you would think to begin with to start enhancing the stones initially. And obviously, you know, when we say strength endurance, we want endurance strength. So
absolutely,
we want to marry them.
Yep. I mean, you need that adaptive overload and that complementary development there. So, you know, talking about the stones, I think where the kettlebells is going to be very valuable to the strongman training program is it's going to help get into some of those weak angles, some of those weak links. So we're talking about a stone lifting, something that's really crucial to get, you know, to get to any decent level is you got to be able to get low. You got to be able to get that leverage. So that's, you know, dropping the hips really, because it's your center of mass.
Yep.
You know, so you got to get that center mass down, and basically your body is a wedge, right, when you're lifting a stone. And in that way, it's going to be similar to flipping a heavy tire.
Yep.
Even though the grip's obviously different. So, you know, in that way, right off the bat, a kettlebell is probably the most convenient way of training a goblet squat.
Okay.
You definitely could use a dumbbell, but the kettlebell has a lot of advantages in the design. So the goblet squat, you know, obviously you can do it for repetitions and do the conditioning, but even just holding it, you know, what you call a goblet squat hold.
Okay.
And, you know, so those arms are in the, close to the body. You have your elbows close, and basically you're holding the kettlebell in front of you, dropping down into a full squat. And that's going to allow a lot of people that have a difficulty even doing a full squat with body weight, because maybe they can't, maybe the hips get stuck, or they just don't have the correct alignment, so they feel like they're going to fall backwards. So that kettlebell is going to give you that forward counterweight, so
yep.
you can sit those hips way back without tilting back.
Yep.
And then, you know, it's going to let you just, it's just a very comfortable position to drop into. And
yep.
Pretty much any athletes, that's like a universal. So definitely for strongman training, it's not really going to be for the strength, you know, because you got the barbells and you can move heavier loads than what the kettlebell can provide. But it's
yep.
really about the mobility. And
yep.
that's the key, is getting down in those deep positions and being able to stay there and get comfortable, so now you can get that leverage, so you can get under the stone, you can get under the tire. So that's
yep.
where I would start with, for sure.
Well, all right, Steve, let me ask you this then. You know, usually I do all body weight warm-ups. I usually do squat pull-ups, I do long strength good mornings, and I'll walk with heavy hands 95 up and back on the driveway at sometimes, or I'm using some band work that I was using to really rehab the shoulders. It'd be, you'd wrap the band around your back, the top of your back, and you get in your hands in a position where you could pull it. And one of the things John McKean and I talked about is I'm doing a standing bench press for one. And then I'm doing basically, it almost looks like shoulder flies with it, and get that flexibility and be able to get that arm spread out to the side, all right? So that's the next thing. And another thing that's real good I take a curling bar empty. It's like 35 pounds. Do multiple curls with it, barbell curls, but then break right into a reverse hand. So it would be the same style with your basically palms up. And do five straight presses right out in front of me, because it's another good rehabber for the shoulders. Now, say I do all that stuff, and now the first movement of the day is going to be carrying. I'm going to carry now the smaller of all the steel stones, but it's still a monster. Can I take and do that goblet squat either? Do I want to install that in with those four or five or six movements I'm doing and maybe drop one or two? Or do I want to do my warm-up the way I explained to you, go into the goblet, sit there for X amount of time, set my egg timer maybe 10 seconds, 10 seconds, 10 seconds like that, or go 10 seconds, grab the steel stone, and say I'm going to run 50 feet opening up with like 130 and come ripping back, put it down, and then go back to the goblets? What would you suggest as far as that goes?
The way that I would personally line it up, and again, you know, we know that there's almost always more than one way to do anything. So, you know, as the saying goes, all roads lead to Rome, right? So, you know, you can have
yep.
different starting points and still get to a similar destination. But from my approach to it, what I would do is that dynamic warm-up that you're doing, I would pretty
yep.
much leave that be for a couple of reasons.
Yep.
First of all, you're an very experienced trainer. You know your body. That's something that you've developed over time. So that's something
right.
that there's a psychological, you know, that's something you look forward to before your training. You go through that routine. So it's important not to really mess with that. Your body
okay.
responds well to it, you know. So that's kind of how I would approach this. I would pretty much keep the dynamic routine that you described, leave that be. Now
yep.
I would come in and I would use that goblet squat. And so we can say kind of the warm up before the warm up,
okay.
or what you would say in a warm up, you have the general warm up and then you have the specific warm up.
Okay.
So, you know, you have your general warm up that you're doing with the band and
yep.
that type of stuff. Now I would take a goblet squat and do a couple of progressive overloads, not heavy, even even just, you know, starting with a light, maybe a 16 kilo, 35 pound.
Yep.
Hold
yep.
it there
yep.
just for about five breaths, five, 10 breaths
okay.
in that bottom position.
Okay.
And then
yep.
I would do that probably maybe two or three more sets, you know, so maybe bump it up another 4 kilo.
Yep. Yep.
You know, maybe up to maybe 32 kilo, not super heavy, but so you
yep.
feel that stretch. And then from there, I would go in and I would go ahead and get into those steel, you know, into the steel stones
yep.
that you're
yep.
doing. So I would actually use the goblet squat as an interim between your general warm up and your first exercise of the actual training program, which is going
awesome.
To be those steel stones. That's how I would do it rather than
okay.
going back and forth between the stone
okay.
and the goblet.
Okay.
Because I think that would detract from the stone. My
okay.
rule of thumb is, whatever your priority is, that's your priority for the training.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
if your priority is kettlebells, that's going to be the thing that you're leading up to. But in this case, the priority is the strongman. You're using the kettlebells to kind of augment that and supplement that. So you
okay.
know, I would just gear up, get ready for those stones, and then now you're not using the kettlebells again at that point.
Well, I just like the idea because I do goblet squats, but I never just sit there in the hole like that.
Yep.
I just like the whole idea of it because I'll tell you one of the biggest things I like about it, and I love this with training, I like the idea you're sitting in something that you can make a little bit uncomfortable for yourself and that you're going to need maximum concentration to be able to burn through that because what that's going to do is that's going to create another form of aggression in me because then I'm going to go, you know, after I've done, say, three or four rounds of that, by the last round, I ought to be ready to bite through that steel stone.
Yeah.
And that's how I'm going to word it in my head because – I want something that's going to influence me to go after this thing even harder. So I totally am down with that. Now,
those static holds.
About,
now, there's one
yeah,
more thing I want
holds.
To add to that
yeah.
with the goblet.
Yeah.
It's kind of a progression because definitely those static holds, that's where the kettlebell is really going to be valuable for the strongman. But what I would even do, and this is probably, you know, at intermediate and then moving towards advanced. So this wouldn't be
yep.
something that maybe a beginner would use. But, okay, you did a couple sets of the goblet squat hold. Your hips
yep.
are feeling loose. Now we want to go a little deeper. And, again, you got to be smart. You might need to take a little while to move up to that. But when you're ready to go deeper, now you're going to actually stand on two blocks
wow.
or two. And then instead of holding it goblet, you're going to hold it straight down like if you're doing a straight leg deadlift
yep.
or sumo.
Yep.
So you're holding
yep.
with two hands. You're letting the kettlebell hang low. Now you're standing on the boxes because that's going to allow, when you squat down, that's going to allow the kettlebell to go below the level of your feet. And that's going to
gotcha.
Give you that deep – that very deep stretch into not just the lower back, the hips, but it's going to get up into those upper hamstrings. So, you know, then from there, of course, you got to make sure that it's not folding you over. So you still got to keep that upright posture. And that's
yep.
going to crease very nicely into the hip flexor there.
Now, Bud Jeffries had the other day, he was doing it off a tire.
Yep.
And he was bending over and trying to go, you know, he had the kettlebell flipped the regular way.
Okay.
And he had that thing stretched where he was hitting the ground with it.
Yeah, now that's almost what you're describing, that Bud, and Bud's a, you know, high-level athlete, obviously, but that's actually almost getting into the round back. So that's kind of getting the way that you're describing. That's kind of
yeah,
getting
yeah.
the stretch for more of the round back lifting, which because standing the tire, you actually have to go forward a little bit.
Yeah.
And well, so
well,
if you're standing on the two blocks, you go straight down. So it's just a different twist on the same idea.
So we're basically we've got the kettlebell the regular way. We're not holding like a goblet and we're bending over and putting that between the blocks. So I want to make sure I'm clear on
yeah,
that.
Yeah, so basically, okay, so the kettlebell's on the floor. You stand up and you sumo deadlift it. All right.
Gotcha.
And
I gotcha.
So it's between
yep.
your two legs. Now you stand on the two boxes and you drop straight down. Now, you know, if you were to do that on the floor, the bottom of the kettlebell would hit the floor before you got to your bottom position in the squat. But by
yeah.
standing on the two boxes, that allows your hips to drop even lower, and the weight of the kettlebell is actually pulling your hips
right
even
for,
deeper.
Well. I've done it like that on the blocks. I'll tell you why I like the blocks better. I've never tried it on a tire.
Yes.
tires can be tricky unless you've got a – and I want to tell everybody this too. It's a great movement, but you better get a tire that's got a very hard outside to it. If you got anything with a flex in a tire, it can throw you right off the tire, stuff like that.
Yeah, but even Bud, you know, not to speak for him, but even Bud, you know, he's very, very straightforward about it. He tells people a lot of the stuff he does, he's not recommending it for other people.
No, not
he's
at all.
He's doing it because he has insane – not only strength, but flexibility, and he's very highly trained. So he's doing it because he's taking the risk. But, you know, that's a good, another example. That tire, is, you know, it's for a more advanced person that's looking for that extra challenge.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, all this stuff is fabulous already. I want to tell you something. I want to make it quick because I know we've got some time, but I want to get into this a little bit. I've been doing this with the guys that are coming over here, and I'll tell you, one of these days we're going to have to really talk about some stuff I'm doing with a stone and a circus dumbbell and a revolving Apollon axle. When I tell you this, you're going to be like, no shit, man. It's that good. But I'm not going to tell you that one. One of the things I've been doing that's very interesting that is not a real killer on your system, but I found it to be very beneficial for carrying. I've got two different size full Everless bags, you know, boxing bags. I take the 70-pounder, and what I do is I pick it up and bear hug it. I walk it forward, say, 5 feet. I don't turn around. I go backwards. Obviously, my eyes are still front. I go back to the position. Then I walk up to the center again. I go left, you know, I'm moving across the driveway, still looking forward. I'm not turning my body and walking the regular way I would be carrying something. And I do it to the right and return to the center. And I do it in a very fast, speedy way.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you right now, that thing, if you do it right and you can increase the footage you want to walk, it will knock you on your ass.
Oh, that's
man.
Athleticism, though. You're moving in all directions.
Yes, sir.
That's the difference between an athlete and someone that's just strong in one plane of motion.
Well, and they're the ones that can't walk a half a mile, and they're the ones that can't tie their shoes, and they're the ones that, so I've seen this happen before, my friend. A 230-pounder will fuck with a guy that can do that stuff at 180 pounds, and he'll knock his lights out, man.
Well, because those angles, that's what kicks in when your body's fatigued and tired and broken down. That's where all those unique angles kicks in because your body starts drawing from the surrounding areas. And if you've only trained in a couple ranges, you might be the strongest guy in the world in those ranges. But once you start getting tired, if you don't have that reserve tank, you know, so that's what you're doing there. That's developing the whole athlete, you know, and actually, you know, at least on a conventional sense, I think a lot of people still don't look at strongmen as athletics, where in my
not
mind, it's a very high level athletics because it's not just the guys that can lift the heaviest weights, because then the power lifters would be winning the strongman events. And that's sometimes the case, but not always. It's actually, you got to be athletic. You got to have endurance. You got to have a degree of flexibility. You got to have static strength. There's a lot of things going on. You got to have dynamic strength, you know, and you got to have the power and the power endurance as well. So, because you got to change speeds. You can't just plug along at the grinding speed all the time.
All right. Well, what next do we want to hit?
Definitely loaded carries. I mean, that's pretty much what we've been talking about. But, you know, I would say in addition, and that's where the kettlebell really lends itself well, is the other loaded carries. And not so much farmers, because, you know, with farmers, the kettlebells are only going to get so heavy. You know, like I got my heaviest kettlebell is 64 kilos, and, you know, and it's very expensive to get a kettlebell that heavy. And, you know, even that, It's not a one rep max for a farmer's carry. So the kettlebell is not the tool where if you're going to do maximum load farmer's carry, you're going to use, say, the loadable handles for that. You know, so not so much in the farmer's carries unless you want to develop that grip endurance, which is definitely good. You know, get a couple 40 kilos and walk as long as you can. But more so, you start talking about the overhead. You start talking about holding it in the rack position at the chest. So basically it'd be like a kettlebell clean to the chest and shoulder, and you just hold it there walking around or just standing, and then overhead. So you got a lockout. And I'm talking about with one kettlebell, because with two, that's a very specific skill, and there's a degree of specific flexibility. You're almost kind of now you're becoming a kettlebell lifter. So you're going to have to devote a lot of time to that, which is not really the objective. With what we're talking about is you're using the kettlebell as a supplement to enhance the strongman. So with this stuff for strongman, I'm sticking with a single kettlebell.
Mm-hmm.
Overhead, I have it locked out. So I do a press or a one-arm jerk or push press. I get it overhead. I keep it there, and I just go for a walk. And as I'm walking, I'm kind of falling. I'm letting my chest fall into it. So it's almost like a doorway stretch, where you got your hand at the top of the doorway and you're kind of falling forward, so it stretches out the pecs and the back of the shoulder. So you're basically doing that. And, you know, you could do that with a dumbbell, but it's very different with a kettlebell, because with a kettlebell, it's sitting actually on your forearm. It's not you're not gripping it in a conventional way. Your hand is inserted. The kettlebell's sitting on your forearm, kind of halfway to your elbow. And it's behind you. So it's actually giving you a greater range of motion that the arm and shoulder is going to move through. And what that translates to is the shoulder stability, that endurance and stability overhead when you're tired. And that's the specialty of the kettlebell, is everything's great when we're fresh, but when you get tired, that's when you need the deep reservoirs of, you know, again, like that reserve tank. And that's where the kettlebells shine, you know, probably better than any other type of strength implement.
Well, that, and you know what else I thought too, when you were talking about that, it's got to be, I know I've seen stuff before, it's got to be very good for shoulder rehab too.
Very much. And with that, some dynamic movements we can do, you know, also can put this as part of the warm up, kind of in the specific warm up. Or it can be on kind of off days when you're not lifting heavy is another way to do it. But definitely the Turkish get-up is a really good one. And then the kettlebell arm bar, when you're laying on your back and kind of rolling your body around. And it's really working those rotator cuffs. You know, so those are also great for that shoulder stability. Another one is I'd like to you can do it with a rack hold, but also you can do what's called the open palm. So the open palm kind of rack hold or rack carry. So basically you're cleaning the bell, but you're doing it open palm style. So it's, so the side of the kettlebell is actually laying on your palm in your
grip. Awesome. Yep.
And that's going to be like, because a lot of guys, if you were to do that with an Olympic bar with a decent amount of weight, it's going to be very stressful on the wrist. And again, now at that point, you're crossing over into that sport specific, like, you know, a lot of that jacks a lot of people up. The Olympic lifting, a lot of times the wrist starts getting really, you know, and so with the kettlebell, you can do that open palm kind of one hand at a time, and you're getting the same type of stretch in the wrist of the forearm, but it's distributing it over the whole hand instead of just in that one spot. So it's actually a more, you're getting the stretch without kind of zeroing in on just that angle of the wrist that gets kind of uncomfortable, you know. So that's a great one, and it also develops that control, because, you know, it will fall out of your hand too, so you kind of have to have a little bit of that dynamic stabilization as you're walking with it, so you can adjust so the kettlebell doesn't fall out of your hand. So those are some really good ones. Or even just goblet with two hands and go for a walk, get a heavy kettlebell and go, you know, kind of like a almost a stone carry, but you're holding it with your hands.
Now, is there any advantage to when you're, say you want to take a goblet for a walk and you're holding it, do you want to keep that very close to your upper chest, almost like where you knock a bar right to doing a steep incline?
Yes.
How do you want to? Okay.
Yeah.
Right,
so,
all right.
So that's going to be another advantage of the kettlebell, is actually your forearm is going to be more vertical. It's not going to be horizontal like what you'd want in an Olympic lifting. You're keeping, you know, I always say just, you know, pull your tricep into your ribs kind of thing. Pull your bicep and tricep into your ribs so it's sticking against your body. So you're basically, you don't have an arm, you have a body. It's one piece.
Well, you know what I want to tell you this, and I want to see what you think, because this just blew right into my mind. That goblet squat or the goblet carry, Mike, I just thought of something really wild about that. Your inner pecs, you really need the stone carry. Do you realize the tension I can put on the inner
yes.
pecs, like almost doing a close grip bench press?
Or an isometric in a sense. You're doing an isometric hold, and so you're getting that kind of medial pec.
Yeah.
And intercostal, the muscles of the ribs and so on. Yes, that's definitely, again, I don't have a lot of, I played around with it, but I don't train with the Stone Man.
Yep.
So,
if you ever come to Albany, New York, man, I'm going to throw the 80 pounder on you.
Oh my God. Yeah, man. I learned something new for sure.
You'll be able to start hosting Steel Stones when you do the kettlebell work. You talk about domination, man. Not only but right now you got my head.
I'll
so
tell
you know
what. When I was still early on in the kettlebells, kind of just a segue, but I was out in Minnesota, and it was Dave. Man, it's been so long. What's his last name? He's pretty high level strongman guy at that time. Dave. I don't remember his name, but anyway, we were out in his backyard. Myself, Brett Jones, a couple other guys. I don't know if David Whitley was there or not. I'm trying to remember. But, he had a lot of the toys, the fingers and everything. He had a 900-pound tire.
Yeah.
Dave's a big guy. He's probably close to, at least 270. And, so he probably was doing that for a lot of reps. But, I'd never touched a tire in my life. And at that time, I was a little heavier because I don't eat meat anymore. So I'm a little bit lighter now.
Right.
But at that time,
right.
I was about 175 was my walking around weight, and that's not heavy, but I'm 5'6", so pretty stocky.
That's big for 5'6", right?
But not real heavy. First time I ever touched that 900-pound tire, I flipped it four times. That's not a lot of weight. I mean, it's not a lot of reps, but the 900 pounds, man. And I remember it almost buckled me on that first rep. But I was able, because of my body structure, I was able to get under and use my mass, and that's kind of what we're talking about at the beginning, what we're trying to develop with that. I always thought, oh, man, if I was training that, I might be able to do pretty good, but, it just didn't work out. Southern Cal, you don't see as much of that stuff because it's like the real estate is you don't have as much real estate to go around in the cities here, so you don't have space for these big tires. At least I don't, not in my house.
Yep. I'll tell you what. This is what I try to tell people. You don't have to be a 300-pounder or a 400-pounder. There's guys and girls that are so loaded with strength. And what we're talking about here today, we're giving you a way to load that body and build that body through kettlebells, which is only going to enhance. But here's the greatest thing, Steve. You're going to be able to use those implements that we like to play here and use them for your own building too. See, this is where I draw the line with so many people. It's like, it's got to be this way or it won't work. Well, that's a bunch of bullshit. It's like everybody tells me, you can't do three heavy pulls in a row. Who the hell made that rule? Who made that rule? I want to know. I go out and do it just to piss people off, man. You know what? I want to prove that you can do it. I don't understand this illogic on a lot of things now, but I'm not even going to get into it. That's another show. But I think that's awesome, man. You flipped a 900-pound tire. That's nobody's fool out there, believe me, when I say that. I mean, the biggest one I got here is 800. When you go to move, and this is a super hard tire, so if it comes back and hits you in the leg, the thigh, you've got a bruise like it looks like a football on your thigh, man, when you get hit with it, and it hurts. And the rest of them are very the walls on the other ones are more pliable. And one thing I love about tire flipping, I swear to God, it sounds like the Hulk is coming down the driveway. When that thing slams, you know what I mean? It slams, it goes boom, man, and people are like, what the hell is that? But it's a lot of fun. What else? I mean, we talked about the flip, the stone carries, and all that. What else? I mean, is there anything else? Let me ask you this, which is the popular one you always hear people say: swings.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. For any athlete, you know, almost any athlete, yep. I mean, that's going to be just a, you know, cardiovascular, anaerobic conditioning. That's going to be the endurance, the strength endurance, you know, because you kind of put that at the end of the workout and you just grind
yep.
out, you know, you crank out as many swings until you can't hold on to it anymore, you know, and that's like a finisher, a great finisher, because it's still not, it's still pretty gentle on the body in the sense that you're not pounding, you know, you're standing in one
yep.
spot. So you're able to use the large muscles, the hips, you're getting the legs and the hips, you're getting a lot of heart pumping action there. It's pure conditioning, you know, and it doesn't matter. A guy can be a small person, it can be very large, someone can be a little bit obese. You're still going to be able to plug the swing, you know, and it's posterior chain development, man. You're getting those hamstrings activated. You're getting the glutes, you're getting the lower back. Plus dynamic grip. So
yeah.
Where can you not use that? You know, that's going to be useful everywhere. Definitely swings, no matter what else, always do some swings. That's always
yeah.
a good one.
So you feel the swings are in a better position as a finisher. So we've done, let's just say we went with this.
Two places. I would use swings
okay.
as a warm-up light, and I would prefer
okay.
for that the hand-to-hand swing where you're changing grips every
gotcha.
Rep. You know, so I would use kind of a lighter weight and do, you know, maybe a good 20 to 30 to 50, you know, just, again, light as a warm-up. So that would be,
yep.
I'd use the swings kind of early on in the specific warm-up. And then in the end, conditioner, that's where you're doing your heavy swings. And that's where you're kind of, that's like a wind sprint at the end where you're going
yeah.
and doing it until you're not going to be able to go anymore. Now, from there, you wrap it up, you do your stretching, you do your cool down. That's it.
Now, all right, so, I mean, I love this. The four that definitely, and I do two out of the four. Well, I've done the three out of four, but here's what let's go with these four movements and let's implement them, whether we're doing them on off days or we're going to put them right into those three strongman circuits. So let's go with the goblet hold in the bottom position.
Yep.
Let's go with the walking overhead with the kettlebell for distance, or keep it on the shoulder initially and still walk it.
Yep.
Thirdly, let's do the hip girdle stretch between the two blocks. And fourth, let's do the swing. So
that would be a great way to do it. Yep.
Okay. So how do we want to implement this program in? And would we better off doing two of ones and maybe switch them back and forth with the three medleys? Or and then do some on our off days, or would you do them all together on one day with everything, or how would you do this for the audience?
Yeah, I mean, I would say probably, and again, you know, full disclosure, and we already talked about this before we got on, is, you know, I definitely am not a person that I, you know, I'm not an expert in strongman or programming. What I do know is I know the body, and I have a general understanding of what the objective is, you know, so that's where
yep.
I'm coming from. But,
yep.
You know, you would know better as far as how you like to actually split up the program. But let's say, for example, you're going to work on three key strongman lifts in a
yep.
particular session. So maybe
yep.
stone might be one of them.
Yep.
Maybe you're doing heavy farmer's carry might be another one. And what would be a third one that
I will go tire flip because they're just so explosive.
Okay.
Man.
So basically you're doing some stone lifting. You're doing some tire flipping and you're doing some heavy farmer's carries probably with the loadable handles. Okay.
Correct.
So if that we're going to say that's kind of the foundation of your main training. And then we have those four kettlebell exercises that we're using to kind of both, you know, at the beginning using it as a deep warm-up stretch, in the end using it as a kind of a conditioning finisher. And then in the middle, there's some place where it's a little bit of some skill work and some what I would call some static strength building. So, you know, how I would lay it out based on everything we've talked about, you're going to do your routine that you like. And I think that's
yep.
important, at least 5-10 minutes in the beginning. The person
yep.
does their own thing that they like that works for them, and it can be whatever. Okay, that's your
yep.
general warm-up. And then from there, you're doing some specific warm-up. You're getting into the you're going to do the goblet holds for a couple sets.
Yep.
Okay?
Yep.
Now
yep.
from here, that's where I'm going to do my first strongman.
Okay.
So maybe at that point I'm going into the, say, the stone lift.
Yeah, let's talk stone carry now. Okay.
Okay, so that's where I would do that. So I'm still, you know, I'm warm, but I'm still pretty fresh. And so I need to kind of do my power, my strength dominant movements when I'm still pretty early on into the program, when I'm still pretty fresh. Yeah. After that, that's where I would look to do probably the overhead hold.
Okay.
Because now your lower body is very warm. You're fully into the workout at this point, but now you're going to be opening up that chest.
Oh, yeah.
Your opportunity to get some deep breaths. So when you get overhead, you got that chest open. That's where you're going to kind of really try to regulate your breathing, get that stretch, get that upper body, you know, nice and warm, get that shoulder stability. From there, that's where I would probably do the, you know, I don't know how you would do it, but I would probably go into the tire flips at that point, make it more of the explosive. That, so that's kind
yeah,
of the
definitely.
The anaerobic, definitely. You know, very explosive yep. movements and however many yep. reps you're going to do of that. And
yep.
then from there, that's where I would go into probably doing the farmer's hold right after that.
Yep. Yep.
And then, you know, go for broke until your grip just can't handle anymore.
Yep.
And then from
yep.
there, you can do a two-hand swing. One-hand
yep.
swing, no, not after the farmer's hold because your grip is already shot. But
shot,
with
yeah.
the two-hand
yep.
swing, it's not really that much of a grip. You're just kind of
yep.
holding it. So,
yep.
You know, and that's where I would do that finisher, some two-hand swings and just kind of – boom, now you're done. And then, you know, I believe for any athlete, doesn't matter the sport, you got to always at the very end, that's where you're not using any equipment. That's your body. And that's where
yeah.
you're doing some cool down. It can be some
okay.
stretching. It can be some joint mobility combination. But that's where you're kind of working into those tight areas and kind of untighten them, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. As far as that stretch we would do for the hip girdle, would you do that on an off day, or could we implement that in with what we just talked about?
Oh, yeah. And in fact, I think even at the very end, even after
that's what I was going to say.
I'm thinking cause yep. now you're toasty warm.
Yeah.
And you're going to be able to sit very deep into it, you know. And I like at the very end after my workout, I like that's when I like to do my deep stretching. And that is definitely a deep stretch, but it's a
yeah.
it's a
yeah.
dynamic deep stretch. So you're going to
yeah.
very, very much be.
Okay.
You know, someone that's going to get gung-ho, you don't want to do that when you're cold because it's going to go
no.
very deep. You want to be when you're still warm, but, you know, you can't be exhausted to the point that you can't maintain your form because then you're going to get injured.
Well, you know what I've been doing? We've had such excessive heat here. And, I mean, in the garage when I'm training, it's 107 degrees, and it's humid as hell again today, and I got to be ready to go tomorrow night. What I've been doing, and I think it's the smartest thing, you go with what you got, you do as much as you can, and when you start feeling it to the point where a towel is not even cooling you down because the towel after a minute or two is warm because it's so hot out, what I've been doing, like say it was something we were going to do the hip girdle stretch, you know, on the blocks, I might go out there and just knock 10 reps off and I'm done. That's
yeah.
it.
Oh, yeah, because, absolutely. That's a great way to
you know,
do it. That's
yeah,
kind of like,
no,
you know, a different way of using the grease the groove idea. You know,
you're just
kind of doing a few throughout the day when you think of it, and it's nothing structured, but it definitely adds up, man. Makes a difference.
Well, and not only that, you know what it is, Steve? You know, we keep hearing the harping all the time, recovery, recovery, recovery. Well, you know something? Heat and cold are going to take the living life out of you.
Oh,
I don't
yeah.
care how conditioned you are or not. You go out, you know
but
from Southern California.
There's a
heat
reason why
killing.
Most of the famous strongmen come from the north.
Yep,
the cold
absolutely.
Weather makes you very, very vital, and too
bigger.
Much heat will zap
yep.
you. Too much heat will zap
well,
you.
You want to hear something funny? A lot of my buddies, and they weren't candy cane lifters either. They take the summer off because it was too hot. I'm like, what the hell's wrong with you? You got to go out and be able to deal with all the elements. But what I've learned through the years, the smart money is you go out, you have your agenda, you have your plan. You go out and you maximize everything you can. You keep yourself hydrated. I went out today and got another thing of children's Pedialyte plain. Load the Pedialyte up. I get the minerals from Steven Santangelo. load them up right into the water, and it keeps me fine. And I always take fats out with me. I'll take heavy cream out with me in a small bottle, and I'll sip that through the whole routine, so I'm getting that going.
Uh-huh.
And the smart money is, if I'm starting to feel a little bit and it's getting way too hot with the body and everything, I'll do one of two things. I'll keep trying to cool down with a cold towel and just sip the water, obviously, and go back in and give it the best shot. But if I feel that we're getting ready to hit a wall, that's it. And I know I've made gains that way, and I haven't taken my neurological system and toasted it, because what good is it going to be if I can't come back 2 or 3 days from now and give a big horsepower event? And it could be the humidity's gone now. Maybe we went from 95 and we're at 75 now with no humidity. That's going to feel like winter when I walk into the garage, and I'm going to be like a bull then. So I've learned that, but what I like about the kettlebells, this is, I told you this before we came on, and this is how I look at it with me. I really use it not only as endurance, but I use it as a distraction. And let me just explain that real simple. You know, when you're under a big monster bar and trying to dead stop a 500, 600, 700 pound squat out of the hole with no rebound, let me tell you, man, you do that and you come out from under that power rack, and you got a lot of things going on in your head, especially if you got another set, you're going to try for another big one, and you want to hit it, and you've got to keep your brains together. What I found with kettlebells, and I usually do, I told you, I love doing swings in between sets of dead stop squats, and I want everybody to understand this. It's a distraction that works perfectly, because what it seems to do is rev my system back up. And it, like I said, I'm using a 16 kilo, not heavy, but I don't even give a damn about the weight. The idea is, let's get ourselves positioned mentally and physically to be fired up. And as we march towards that power rack and get ready to lift that big monster weight, we're feeling back in. We're back in the groove. We're not like disoriented, or we're not getting that, well, I'm not sure about this. That's what the kettlebell does for me. Comment on that, Steve. What do you think?
It makes a lot of sense, Eric. It's the dynamic nature of the kettlebell.
Yeah.
And, you know,
yep.
We don't use a kettlebell like a dumbbell where it's like single joint movements, right? It's very dynamic,
yeah.
And
yeah.
It's moving fast. And that actually, the way that you're describing and using it, because you're doing those lifts that are, you're moving real slow, you're grinding
yeah.
a lot, and it's
yeah.
almost stat, yep. a lot of static contracture. You're switching from that to doing something where, again, not necessarily heavy, but it's moving
yeah.
very fast, and it's very
yep.
aggressive. So that's, I think, basically excitation, you know, is what's
yeah.
happening. And like
yeah.
you're calling it a distraction, but you're yep. you're moving, and it's, I guess, kind of keeping the body a little bit confused. It doesn't allow you to adapt too much.
Exactly. Yep. And I'm not sitting on a bench, and I'm not sitting with my I'm not standing bent over with my palms of my hands on my knees. As I have this theory, I don't let anybody do that here. You can stand up erect, you're fine.
Yes.
And sip your water, because it's weakness to me. You're
I
telling
agree.
The body.
I agree.
You're tired. That's what you're giving in to being tired. And they look at me like, well, everybody sits down. I'm like, well, we aren't everybody here.
Well,
we're not everybody.
That reminds me of a great thing I heard, and I've always thought about it, and made perfect sense when I heard it, you know, 30, 40 years ago. But George Burns, the old-time famous actor, he's an old god, you know, and
yep.
I don't know. I think he lived to be, was it 100 or 98?
He was 98, I believe, when he died.
Yeah, you know, and
yeah.
this was going back, and he was probably still in his 80s at the time, but he was in an interview. They asked him, you know, what's your secret to longevity? And, you know, he was still going super strong when he was in his 80s, still doing a
yeah.
bunch of movies. And he said, you know, when I get up out of a chair and I sit into a chair, he doesn't make those sounds like,
old man sounds.
He called it
yep.
old man sounds. You don't make those old man sounds, because it's the
nope.
same thing you're talking about. It's, you create this mental connection, and so, you know, you're bending down over your knees. You're basically self-defeating at that point.
Absolutely.
And so,
absolutely.
Yeah, you're tired, but no emotion. And that's one thing I'm really learning a lot more as I get older, is just
yeah.
the idea that you have to express emotion, it's really a, I don't know, it's a very American thing, I guess. We're very theatrical people, and there's other cultures that are more theatrical than Americans for sure, but you know, I kind of like, you know, the Russian thing that you see, you know, the Drago. There's no there's no discernible. You don't know if the guy's happy or sad by looking at him. And that's kind of, that's what I'm training my son a lot now. You know, he just turned 13 a few weeks ago, and he's really taken. Yep. But it's the same thing, man. I'm trying to, you know, that I impress upon him is like, if I'm looking at your face, you're doing a 10-minute set of kettlebells or whatever, I shouldn't know what rep you're on. I don't know if you're on the first rep or the 100 rep because it's the same. You're steady, and so I 100% agree with you. Those type of things, same thing. You don't rest on your knees. You know, don't act like you're defeated. Even if you are defeated,
don't show it.
Exactly, because you're convincing your own deep subconscious mind that it's too much for you. So then it is too much for you.
Plus, you're showing people that are around you that you're weak. That's what I believe. And
you're
vulnerable. You're
vulnerable.
Yeah,
you
absolutely.
Can be
you can be
position.
Defeated.
You got to be ready at all times.
Think about this. This analogy. When you walk in, when you walk up to the sheep pen in Iceland for the Húsafell stone, and it's laying on its belly because it's never standing up. Wherever it falls, it lays. And Bill Crawford and I got into this last week. I totally believe that stones are alive, man. And we believe, and I believe now, at first I was not sure, that the stone speaks to you. There's too much of the world contained in that stone.
Mm-hmm.
There's been too much sweat from previous guys.
But it's also the emotion. You've been talking about that stone for some years now.
Right.
So before you even touch that stone, there's so much energy and emotion that you're carrying and projecting upon it, you know. So the stone lives. The stone is a living thing, man.
But you know what the whole thing, Steve, is this? Do you think that stone cares if I lift it or not? Do you think it cares if I'm on bent knees? No, it doesn't.
It's going to be the stone before you and after you.
Absolutely. And the thing is, if you don't approach that thing like you are on fire, you ain't getting that thing, because it's hard enough when you're on fire to go and pull a 418-pound stone and be able to bear hug it and get around 50 meters as fast as you can. So that's like my analogy. So anybody out there, when you hear this show, I mean, you've got all the facts and you've got everything here combined to not only help you with your strength, but now you're going to have the endurance. I always say I want the endurance of a middleweight.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what. I don't care what I weigh. I'll tell you what, I take the endurance of a featherweight. You see a featherweight boxer.
Oh, man, far more exciting.
Far more. And,
all
and you know
action.
Something? Yeah. All action. And you can't, they're like, it's like, it's almost like a blur going by you. They're so fast. And to complete things like that, you can be the strongest guy in the world. But I'm telling you right now, if you can't take that thing for the distance, you're not going to make it around. And even the guys that are super strong and enduring, believe me, a lot of them don't make it around here. These are things like that stone and many things out there. They're breakers, man. And, you know, as we always say here, do all your crying in the dojo here. Because when you get out on the war field, you better not be crying or showing anything like that. So, Steve, anything you want to summarize, give out all your information. I'll give mine, and just hang on the line, and we'll get ready for the next show.
Absolutely, Eric. Thank you very much. Summarize, you know, definitely the kettlebell fits in for strongman training, gives you that dynamic loading, great for static loading, great for the functional flexibility. You know, so everything that you describe with your strongman training, that's gonna be a nice compliment. If you're not familiar with kettlebell, you're definitely missing out.
Yep.
On you know, some rich benefits there for the overall strength endurance. And then my stuff, man, definitely check out the YouTube channel. It's IKFF channel on YouTube, and then IKFF website, IKFF.com. Added a bunch of events. I'm going to be, you know, doing a lot of European events over the, uh, kind of fall, be over there for about 2 months doing a night, be up there with, yeah, some guys, you know, Pavel Veduto and some other guys. So, yeah, just check out, you know, I've got a bunch of events up there on the website so you can see what's available and if you want to check out any of those events. So, that, yeah, that's pretty much it, man.
Steve, I want to ask you one thing. The kettlebell medleys that we talked about, they'll find them out on your YouTube channel too, I hope?
The individual lifts, they're going to be able to find those. I haven't put them together, and that we actually just put it together just now on the air. So
okay.
I hadn't had a chance to put that together. That's something we're going to have to do together is make a video on that, I think. But, as far as the individual lifts, goblet squats, they're going to be able to find the overhead lifts, some of the stretching stuff that we talked about. Yeah, there's a bunch of stuff. And if it's not up there yet, it'll be up there soon because I'm literally adding content, you know, every single day. So, can go through that probably and keep them busy for the next few months, picking out kettlebell exercises over there.
Yeah, but the nice thing is you're going to have the ability to really, really learn some stuff. I mean, it's going to be real interesting to be able to get out there. And if you're not sure of what we're talking about, you know, you're going to see demonstrations that is definitely going to be able to enhance your training. So all I can tell you is this. When I thought about this subject today before we came on, I was just like, you know, I know the capabilities of what you can do with this stuff and how it's going to bleed right into your strongman training. And I'll be honest with you, man, it's going to keep boredom out of your life too. I mean, that's the big thing. You can love all this stuff to death, but there's going to come a time and point where you're either going to need time off or you're going to get bored and you might have to switch to something. But, you know, that's good stuff. And when you're using a kettlebell and it's enhancing all of those things you love to do and, you know, maybe you want to go into competition, what the hell is better than that? Steve, is there anything else you need to give out?
Nah, man, that's all the information. Just, happy to be on here with you guys, and great show as always.
Thank you, sir. This is Motivation Muscle, the podcast show that connects your brain to your brawn. We are at FiorelloBarbellCo.com, and go out there and download the top 10 ways to build mind and muscle. It's a free book. All you have to do is give us your email address, commit, take action. Strength times power equals success in the winner's circle. Also, the two biggest products to date. If you like what we talk about, if you like basic stuff, if you want endurance and just big, big power, man, check both of those packages out. I guarantee you, you'll be very happy with them. We do everything here in-house, and we write all our own content. Nobody does our work for us, and I think that is vitally important with everything. FiorelloBarbellCo.com, MotivationMuscle.com. We're on iTunes and Stitcher. Give us a 5-star review. That's what everybody's giving us, and we thank you for that. Also, too, like I said, the big news, we are streaming 24/7. We're on Google Play Music. We're also on TuneIn, Shoutcast, and if you have the ability to listen to podcasts over your radio in your car, go out to AHA, that's AHA, and you'll get Motivation Muscle 24/7 on that. Big things, man. And as I said in the beginning of the show, we are working now on a live show, and I'll keep everybody up to date on that. We want to get that done this year. We'll see what happens. It takes time. That's the thing. But as everybody knows here, we have dedication here like nobody else, and everybody else here is of the same mindset. When you want something real bad, you are going to do it, believe me. And until you do it and try it, you're probably not going to get the whole thing we're talking about. But I encourage everybody for entrepreneurship. Every one of us has it in them. You just got to find out what you love and what you want to do. So think about that. Also, too, if you'd like a specific show for Steve and I to do, FiorelloBarbell@NICAP.R.com, and I'll leave you with these five things. If someone seeks you out in the gym or the concrete jungle, never be afraid to give them some encouragement. I'm telling you right now, five words can change your life. If you think I'm kidding, say something to somebody that really matters and watch how they'll respond to you. As my mom said when we were kids, never be afraid to say hello to someone or give them a smile. That might be all they get for that day. Also, if you're going to go out and lift, crush it, bend it, squat it, press it, pull it. If you're going to lift stones, turn them into dust. And as Steve said, you know, take that 16-kilo kettlebell and try to throw it up to the moon. It doesn't matter, man. Go out and do something. It's really important and vital to your life. Also, the Hoosa Steel Stone, our favorite here, the Crusher. Blood red, it says, in domination. We are domination. We clear-cut the path. We follow no one's. And as I say on everything I write now, and I put it out on Facebook and all over, dominate, obliterate, and dent everything in your path. Dominate everything you do. Obliterate those goals and have some new ones ready to go. And the biggest thing is the dent. We have those off nights. Take that dent, that 6 inches between your ears called your brain, and put it in your head that the next time the two of you meet, you're going to destroy it, or as I say, dominate it. I live by these three words now more than ever, because you get to a point in your life where it has to be that way, or you're going to fall on your face. Believe me when I tell you. And as things get done and as things are rolling, we're going to offer some stuff like you've never seen before. And it's going to be something that's going to be affordable, and it's going to take you through my walk, and I'm going to help people so they don't make some of the mistakes which I've had to learn from, which are fine. But I wish someone was around then that maybe could have said, well, if you want to learn how to podcast, this is where you go. Or, you know, if there's things that you need to do with your blog, this is what I did. Now, does it make it easier for people? Yeah, but you know something? You don't need to have your balls busted every day, and that's my whole mission in life. Solutions here, and as I told Steve and everybody, and I know Steve can attest to it, we're going to be everywhere. We're going to be millions strong. I've said that from the beginning. I mean that, and I mean that sincerely. I don't mean that cocky at all. I mean that sincerely. You wait and see. And I'm glad you're all part of my family, and we're just going to keep bringing in more and more people. No one's ever going to clip our balls. And as Russell Furr says, who's been listening to the show from the very beginning, when I hear your show, I swear there's testosterone dripping through my speakers. That's always been the case. You know, we don't have to be using F-bombs all over. The way we talk, the way we think, and the way we think of everybody is more than aggressive enough. And we want to set the standard for not only aggression, but we got class, because we're men and women that when we go out in the real world, we represent these standards. That's more important than lifting a 500-pound log over your head or taking a 180-pound kettlebell, if they make one that big, and sending it to the moon. And anybody that's got any class and believes in what we talk about will say the same thing. So think about that. Steve, what can I say, man? Thank you for all your support. I love doing these shows with you. We just hit stride so well. I'm looking forward to August, but thanks for being on the show, brother.
Hey, thank you, brother. Man, I really, really appreciate being a part of the great stuff that you're doing. So it's definitely my pleasure and honor.
Thank you, and we're glad to have you, and we're going to be doing more. In fact, the next time Steve's on in August, we'll give you a little bite here. He'll be doing a 5 for 15 with me. So you're going to get to hear another great voice out there inspiring people to do great things. Before we sign off, be a steward of strength. Don't stand on the side of the road and watch the world go by. And remember this, tell 100 of your friends, because I'm telling you, we're coming for you anyways. We are legion, man. We are legion. We are coming. So, for Steve Cotter, this is Eric Fiorello. Thanks for listening. I'm very fired up. We got Dr. William Wong on at 3:45, so I can just imagine what's on his mind. And we'll talk to you next month with Steve, and stay tuned, because there's more coming, and I'll tell you what, I feel great, and I hope you do too. Have a great weekend, everybody, and as I always say, go out and do something magnificent. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks so much for listening to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connected your brain to your brawn. We'll see you next time.